Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau from Compassionate Cooks. I founded Compassionate Cooks to empower people to make informed food choices and to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights. I do this through cooking classes, an online cookbook, lectures and workshops, articles and essays, this podcast, and a cooking DVD. You can learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, CompassionateCooks.com. At least once a day, I receive an email from someone who tells me their thoughts have been changed, their life has been changed because of something they heard on this podcast. And I don't know if I can express to you what that means to me, how that affects me, how that changes me. Each time a new email comes in, I have to share it right away with my husband. The poor guy never gets a break. And as I was reading yet another incredibly moving email to him the other day and was emotional and touched by what I was reading, it seemed to me that he was somewhat distant, like he wasn't really listening to what I was reading. And when I pointed this out, he said it was hard for him to focus on the content of the email because he was so amazed that even after receiving so many emails like this from people every day, I still respond to each one as if it's the first time I've heard this kind of feedback. And it was a very nice observation. I still made him pay attention to the content of the email I was reading. But, you know, it's absolutely true. I cherish each and every story you tell me, each and every email you send me. I'm so honored to be part of your experiences and your transformations. You're the ones making the changes and doing the work. I'm just the messenger, but it's really an honor to be part of your lives in this way. So if you don't mind, me reading another email, just so you know, I'm not making this stuff up. This one's from Seska. Hello, Seska, who's a monthly sponsor of the podcast. And she writes, "Thank you so much for your podcast. We're a family of vegetarians. I'm happy to say that my children have never eaten meat and they're 14, 12, and 11. My youngest daughter, Nissa, enjoys your podcast. She's been teased at school about being a vegetarian and being weird. Your podcasts have empowered her and now she fights back whenever anyone teases her. She now says that animals are her friends and she doesn't eat her friends. She even did a speech about why she's vegetarian in front of her whole class after listening to your podcast about eating animals. Thank you for your podcast and helping my daughter with her problems at school." I don't know. I mean, how cool is that? How can I not be affected by feedback like that? Thank you so much, Seska, for sharing that with me and for helping me produce these podcasts. And Nissa, if you're listening, just remember that people tend to mock what they don't understand. If you can remember that they're just afraid of what they don't know, it might help make it easier to cope. Just speak your truth and keep your heart open. Thank you also to all of you who posted comments on iTunes. I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, not just download individual files. And you can subscribe through iTunes or other podcatchers. You can find them through, go to CompassionateCooks.com and click on listen to podcasts and you'll come to a page that lists all the files. And then there's also a list of podcatchers where you can subscribe. And that way, you know, as soon as there's a podcast that, you know, it'll automatically download for you. But if you subscribe through iTunes, I just received an email from iTunes listing their top podcasts, which they calculate by the number of subscribers they have to any given podcast. So maybe someday this podcast will make that list, but it will really only happen if they see a large number of subscribers. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do so at podcast@compassionatecooks.com. And as always, thank you to the podcast sponsors. Today's sponsors are Seska and Nissa. And if you're willing and able, please visit compassionatecooks.com and click on support our podcast. Anything you can do to help me continue this work is much appreciated. Today's topic is based on an editorial I wrote for Veg News magazine a couple years ago. I'm now a columnist for Veg News magazine, vegnews.com. And this article stemmed from my frustration and sadness over the growth in popularity of certain nonprofit organizations that send live animals to impoverished countries all around the world. This growing phenomenon is headed by the high-profile Heifer Project International, which I believe is doing a great disservice to the people it wishes to help, to the environment, to the public who's persuaded and misled by celebrity sponsors, to the children who are desensitized to animal suffering, and to the animals themselves. Heifer Project is so successful at making people think they're actually helping animals that I know of several animal activists whose family members donated to Heifer on their behalf, thinking they were doing something for animals. They thought because these activists, you know, loved animals, they would appreciate having a goat bought in their name and sent to a needy family somewhere around the world. They just didn't get it. And part of it's because of how brilliant Heifer is at marketing what they do. Luckily, that hasn't happened to me. Nobody has donated to Heifer in my name. But for a while, I was receiving their catalog. And this is actually a full-color, well-produced, very beautiful catalog of animals and children. And you choose an animal, a goat or a llama, cow or a chicken, or what they call an entire ark of animals. And your donation is translated into live animals being transported to a family to be used. This, in my opinion, essentially amounts to nothing more than a slave trade, an animal slave trade. Let me just say, I'm often perplexed by the claim that animal advocates are anti-human. You've probably heard that before, or maybe you've made that claim yourself. What perplexes me about the accusation that animal advocates are anti-human is that it implies that compassion for one species, for one group, means lack of compassion for another, as if our capacity for mercy and kindness is limited. I don't think it says a lot about humans, if that's what people believe. When we deem certain human groups unequal, we call it racism or sexism or anti-Semitism. When we make this claim about non-human animals, when we justify what we have deemed their inequality, we do so on the grounds of tradition, on the grounds of science or religion. And there is a name for this, by the way. It's called speciesism. The claim that animal advocates are anti-human seems really odd to me because though we're reminded every day that humans steal from each other and lie to each other, kill each other, cheat each other, rape each other, and hurt each other, I've never heard any of these people called anti-human, right? You've never heard a newscaster call any of these people anti-human. And it seems to me that the accusation would better suit someone who actually acts against humans, which is something we see every day on the street, in the news, in our homes. Ironically, those who commit the worst crimes against humans are derisively called animals. This societal premise leaves animal advocates reluctant to publicly object to such groups as Heifer Project International, lest they be accused of caring more about animals than humans. Heifer's mission is, quote, to end hunger and poverty and to care for the earth. But their mission statement doesn't say that they give animals to people around the globe to use, breed, sell, and consume their milk, eggs, hair, fur, feathers, and skin. Instead, Heifer, whose $75 million revenue increases every holiday season, dupes individuals and seemingly progressive celebrities such as Susan Sarandon, Frances Moore LaPay, and Jimmy Carter into supporting what is essentially an animal slave trade, in my opinion. Aside from the obvious problems this model creates, the environmental problems, the economic problems, raising animals for human consumption is expensive and inefficient, the health problems, globalizing our preventable diseases such as heart disease, cancer, and diabetes hardly seems charitable. And despite the fact that two-thirds of non-Caucasians on the planet are lactose intolerant and cannot digest dairy, Heifer is spending millions of dollars on dairy programs in such countries as Zimbabwe. The last thing a hungry child in Africa needs is the milk of a cow. Aside from these problems, and I'm skimming over only a few, obviously, Heifer, in my opinion, perpetuates a speciesist paradigm, viewing animals as mere commodities with no regard for their inherent value. Heifer says, sharing the offspring of gift animals, this is their language, with others in need is fundamental to its approach. However, a mother's relationship with her offspring is one of the most sacred relationships, and it's not unique to humans. We even call ourselves mother hens when we fuss over our own children. We admire the fierceness with which a mother bear protects her cubs. Manipulating a female's reproductive cycle is offensive enough, as with egg-laying hens and lactating cows, but to take away her offspring, to my mind, is the final blow. If you've never seen their catalog, it's absolutely amazing. It reminds me of those depictions of happy slaves smiling and laughing while working in the fields, depictions designed to shape public opinion and squelch any potential uprising among the slaves themselves. The Heifer Project's glossy catalog, sent to millions of homes every year for holiday shopping, egregiously exploits children's affection for animals and manipulates our own sensibilities as they depict gorgeous children, beautiful, beautiful children hugging these gorgeous animals. And if you look at this catalog, you'll notice that they're all babies. All the animals are babies. Again, just an egregious manipulation of our own appreciation for life, our own appreciation for youth, for babies, our enthusiasm for babies. Everyone goes crazy when they see a baby chick or a baby goat. They're perfect. And this carefully crafted public relations campaign succeeds in helping us forget that these catalog products are living, feeling beings who will be used up and killed. Of course, they do say when you're choosing an animal to give for a particular reason, they do say that this animal is valuable for meat, or that animal is valuable for eggs or milk or whatever it is they're saying the animal is going to be used for. So it's not like people aren't aware of that, but as with any effective marketing campaign, the real truth is concealed. We know how successfully we've been manipulated into forgetting that the big slab of animal flesh on our plates once came from a live animal. So the truth is concealed. There are no pictures of slaughter. There are no pictures of the females yearning for their young. There are no pictures of the animals' living conditions. And it's not just Heifer. They lead the pack, but there are several other nonprofit organizations that also solicit donations to send animals to people all around the world, including Oxfam, Send a Cow, and Christian Aid. Now, this is not an all or nothing situation. Of course, I'm not suggesting that we don't do anything to help the hungry. I mean, there are a lot of things we can do. But if we're talking about just providing sustenance and a sustainable model for people in developing countries, what I'm suggesting is that we do it in such a way that benefits everybody and that doesn't exploit anybody. There are many programs dedicated to providing solutions to hunger without exploiting animals. Trees for Life, that's treesforlife.org, and the Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, that's ftpf.org, Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, enable you to buy a fruit tree in someone's name, providing a food source to communities in developing countries. Every time you buy a gift from the Women's Bean Project, it's womensbeanproject.org, you help a woman break the cycle of poverty and unemployment by supporting their programs that provide skills and training to women. One of Plenty International's, that's plenty.org, one of Plenty International's programs includes training villages in soybean agriculture and production as a way to improve nutrition, soil quality, and food security. Through Sustainable Harvest International, whose website is sustainableharvest.org, you can contribute to planting trees in Central America, which has lost more than half its rainforest in the last 50 years. And of course, we know much of that has to do with animal agribusiness coming in and clear-cutting the rainforest and providing grazing land to cattle so that Americans can have cheap meat. And finally, Animal Aid, which is a UK charity, animalaid.org.uk, is supporting a tree planting initiative in Kenya, which will provide fruit-bearing trees for local families. The aim is to help 100 families plant 20 trees each, which will bear oranges and avocados, mangoes, and macadamia nuts, with a few additional trees for timber and firewood. I've always found it ironic that one of the ways in which we say we are different from the other animals is our ability to empathize, our ability to be compassionate towards one another. And I think this word compassion has really been watered down to be virtually meaningless. If we claim to be a compassionate society, if we claim to be a compassionate species, don't we have a duty to foster solutions that don't harm others, whoever that other is? The great humanitarian Albert Schweitzer thought so. He wrote, I love this quote, "The thinking person must oppose all cruel customs, no matter how deeply rooted in tradition and surrounded by a halo. When we have a choice, we must avoid bringing torment and injury into the life of another." What else does compassion mean? What else does it mean if we say we have a value of compassion? How does that get translated into our daily lives? I read an interview recently in Satya magazine with Peter Singer, and they were talking about the new compassionate meat that Whole Foods is labeling. A lot of animal organizations have gotten behind this. And the interviewer, one of the editors of Satya magazine, said to Peter, you know, some animal advocates have a problem with the use of the word compassion attached to the dismembered body parts of an animal. And his answer was so disconcerting. He said he had no problem with the use of a label called compassionate meat because vegans don't own the word compassion. And I'm not saying vegans do own the word compassion, but if compassion can be translated to refer to meat, can be referred to animals who've been killed and cut up for our own consumption, what does it mean? It doesn't have any meaning anymore. So all I'm suggesting is that we kind of broaden our notion of what it means to be compassionate people. And, you know, why do we think we can't do all of it? We can help the hungry while we're not exploiting animals. I mean, and of course, ironically, all of this, I have to say that we know that we have enough food to feed the world. We don't have a dearth of food on this planet. We have a lack of distribution of it. And there's a lot of political issues and it's very complicated, but greed really has a lot to do with why certain people are going hungry. There's no reason there should be hunger in this world. There's certainly no reason why there should be hunger in this country, but there is. And that's a very political system that's driving that. So the answer is not farm animals. That's not the answer. We kill 10 billion animals in this country every year. And Lord knows we've got starving people. So that's not the answer. So the answer is actually providing a sustainable system that does empower people and frees them from dependence as well as from the hunger. You know, it's really amazing to me that for all our intelligence, we do tend to think in these black and white terms. And I'm just saying that it doesn't have to be that way. We can do both. We can actually help the hungry, help people, and also reflect our own values of compassion, if that's what we say we have. I don't know. Does that make any sense to you? It makes sense to me. It just makes sense to me. So thank you for listening. This is Colleen from Compassionate Cooks. May your life be a reflection of your values of compassion, of kindness, of generosity. Take care.